It's KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. And it is Friday, March 7th, time to express ourselves. And tonight, at the Callaway Room at the 3rd Street Center in Carbondale, from 6 to 8 p.m., is a women's drumming circle. Mountain Heart Community celebrates International Women's Day for all women and girls, rights, equality, empowerment. Join recording artist, songwriter Lisa Dancing Light and ceremonial leader Deanna Janae in a singing drumming circle celebrating and empowering women to ignite the emerging feminine energy. All are welcome and invited to bring drums, rattles, and voices. And we are delighted to have Deanna and Lisa in the studio with us. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Cody.
How are you doing on this sunny afternoon?
Well, I'm doing great.
I'm doing fantastic. The sun is shining.
And I just walked up Prince Creek.
And I just had a nap. Oh. And I'm all ready to drum tonight.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I reckon you are about to be getting ready for this event tonight. Tell us about what's happening.
Well, do you want to share a little bit, Deanna, first, or do you want me to?
Well, we're gathering as many women who want to come and kind of re-enlivening some of these great songs that Lisa has written over many years' time. And we're excited about it because Lisa and I used to do women's retreats way back, like 25 years ago or something, a long time ago.
Where did you do that?
In the Grand Mesa, on the Grand Mesa. And we sang all these songs back then, and we're just on fire wanting to sing them again.
Actually, the Sophia Songs album that you have here in the studio, that was birthed through the Winds of Change retreats that we did. I recorded that album so people would have something to take home with them. And it's ended up being quite an amazing collection of songs. So if it wasn't for Deanna and me connecting in those retreats, I don't know if that would be, you know, alive as it is today. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's streamed, like, all over the world. It's kind of crazy with the internet, you know.
Yeah. So this event in particular this evening at the Center for Human Flourishing, right, at the 3rd Street Center in Carbondale, it says this year's theme calls for action that can unlock equal rights, power, and opportunities for all and a feminist future where no one is left behind. Central to this vision is empowering the next generation of youth, particularly young women and adolescent girls, as catalysts for lasting change.
Amen. As a woman, speaking as a woman, yeah, and a sister, you know, and as a mom and as a grandma, I've been an educator for over four decades, and my work has been primarily in empowering young women and adults, both male and female, but especially it seems like women seem to need more support in finding their voice. And so this drumming circle will be really beautiful to celebrate that as we sing together and drum together and come together in a murmuration of feminine voices.
Yeah. And, you know, with the uncertainty of our day, we feel that anything we can do to just raise our energy and find joy in life is really important. And so we're coming together to do that. And hopefully this will continue, the drumming circles. Yeah.
So beyond that, we were going to talk about being an elder in the community.
That's an interesting topic for me. I've never considered myself an elder, but I was at an event that Rita Marsh was televising internationally, and Mateo Sandate, who's a local amazing guitarist, introduced me as a major elder in the community, and I looked around the room to see who he was talking about. And, you know, I just never considered my, you know, I pride myself on hiking Sopras and biking to Aspen. And, you know, I don't look at myself as an elder. But I have had to start reframing that, how I look. And part of that was an event. I had kind of this threshold experience where I broke my wrist last summer and all these narratives started rising. And so I've had to start looking at what it means to be an elder for me and how do I navigate this cultural narrative.
Right.
So that's part of what this series, Deanna and I have gone on lots of walks now that she's back in the valley. And one of the themes that comes up is about being an elder, because we're 30 years older than when we did these women's retreats, and we're really different, you know. And so there's a lot to explore about where are the wisdom holders in our community and how do we show up for the younger generations. So, yeah. Do you want to speak to that?
Well, yeah, we feel like through our conversations and our life experience, we've had a lot of things. We have a lot of water under the bridge, you might say.
A lot.
And you know, these experiences, like Lisa talked about, you know, threshold experience, it's kind of a catalyst to look back at your life and see what it is that's really, really important in life and bring it forth and digest it in a way that you kind of, it's like winnowing the wheat, you know, taking the chaff off the wheat and seeing what the pearls are of wisdom that you have. And we've been doing that. And through, we're both really creative. And so through our walks and our talks, we've just realize that, wow, we've got an incredible workshop here that can help a lot of people. And I think it's a big question, because the question begs, what is aging and what is eldering? Mm-hmm. And what's the difference? And the difference really is that the elders are there for the young people and for the next generations to help and help them grow in their wisdom. So we're about digesting life and turning it into wisdom.
And you're hosting a 6-part series, a workshop. When does this start and where?
Well, we're going to start on Wednesday of next week, March 12th. And it's in the evening. So you can call either one of us or email either one of us to find out more information about how to sign up. There is a cost for the workshop, but it's 6 parts. And if I may, I'll just talk about the different parts, because they kind of feed into each other. The first one is addressing the cultural narrative of aging. And I'm sure that's going to be a very popular topic, because aging, like I said earlier, is very different from eldering. And changing the cultural narrative. You know, we have an opportunity to change it, right?
Yeah, as it says in these notes about how our culture sort of reveres youth more, you know, like we kind of leave the elders behind. And I totally hear what you're saying, like this full circle of like we really need to respect the wisdom of the elders, and that in turn, you know, embraces the youth and makes a healthier culture for all of us.
It really makes a culture.
It does.
It's like a full circle energetic that makes a culture. When we are just going fast forward and we leave our elders behind, we lose a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
And we don't know how to be as adults in some ways. So.
And it seems like most indigenous people all over the planet have been practicing that forever.
Yeah, well, if you look at indigenous cultures, they've lasted for 10,000, 20,000, 60,000 Aboriginal peoples of Australia, 60,000 at least years long. And it's because of this, these rites of passage in these different times of catalyzing the energy of who you really are to become. And at this age, Lisa and I have been talking a lot about what it is to catalyze that energy to become an elder.
And so this 6-part series starts next Wednesday, March 12th, Is it at the Third Street Center?
Yeah, it's in the Callaway Room.
Okay.
Again, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this will be a weekly?
Actually, it's about every 3 weeks.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We was, you know, just getting the room availability. We would have loved to have had different, but, you know, just the, that's when we could do schedule them was about every 3 weeks. And there, it's on my website, lisadancinglight.com, and Deanna's website, too, Deanna Janae.
And Deanna, you are just in the middle there of, of going through the six parts.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So the other reason why it's every 3 weeks is because we're going to give homework.
Yeah.
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 In time to
this
digest
is not just
it.
Sit and hang out and talk about, you know, Medicare and Social Security and hip replacements.
Yeah. That might be on the very last class of practical considerations, but that's not in our topic list. But the second class is going to be reflections and discovery of self and soul purpose at this time of our life. I think people have this sense that maybe the soul has kind of run out of ideas about what they have to bring forth for, you know, this older, our eldering part of life. And really, there's still more to come. So that second class is going to be about that. And you can imagine a lot of homework. And then the third one is loss and grief. You know, I know Lisa's.
Yeah, that's been a big one for me this last month. I've lost three dear friends, and I really feel a collective grief in the community. Maybe not so potent right now, but for a while we had a couple of losses in February that were really devastating. And I feel having a place to share the process of loss and grief is really important.
Very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with loss and grief, we are going to discover really this deep sense of what we value in life.
Yeah.
And that's part of eldering, is being able to help the younger people with that whole sense of what's really important. And loss and grief gives that to us. So the fourth class will be reconciliation of a long life. So we either do it while we're alive or we do it after we die. we feel like it's better to do it before.
Hopefully.
And I can imagine a lot of forgiveness of ourselves and maybe of others, but that's going to be a real juicy topic of reconciliation and really getting right with life.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth is cultivating wisdom. So that's really what our class is called. Embracing eldering and embracing wisdom. So after we've done all of those things that I just talked about, those other classes, we will come to a place of where we can actually cultivate wisdom and become an elder, or being an elder, what it is really to be an elder. And I think a lot of people have a sense of what being an elder is, but I also think it's important that we practice. And practice with each other. And then we'll have a class just on practical considerations, you know, just death care, funerary rites, elder care, you know, just some different ways of looking at the end of life.
Yeah. And out of that also, it brings to mind when I was watching this program, CBS Sunday Morning, several weeks ago, there was a program on that really moved me to see if we can create a program like this in Carbondale called the Friendship Bench. And it resulted, it's a longer story, but there was a therapist in South Africa that couldn't reach this young girl, and she ended up hanging herself from a mango tree, which is so tragic when you think about that, because she didn't have the money to get to a therapist where he was located. And the elders came together in the community to gather to sit on this bench to counsel each other and counsel those in the neighborhood. And I thought, what a beautiful image that is, to sit together, to be available as a wisdom keeper. And so there's two benches in Friendship Park right next to the Near New. Mm. And I thought, how cool if we have some designated space in Carbondale, maybe on Farmers Market Day, maybe on Wednesday, where there's an elder available, one or two elders available to just sit and chat, you know, and just share. And, you know, maybe who knows, if there's somebody that's feeling some weight in the world, there's somebody they can go talk to.
I think that would be really valuable for this community. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really excited about that.
Just to slow down, you know. Sit on a bench and
connect. And
connect
exactly.
With someone, yeah.
And we go so fast. You know, I go fast. I don't know about, it seems like everybody else is going pretty fast too. But to just sit and visit, I know I cherish those moments in our community, and that's something I value. So I'm hoping that can be one of the creative projects that we get going with this community we're establishing within this elderhood program.
Yes. And if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Deanna Janae and Lisa Dancing Light. And they're talking about the series of workshops that they will be leading at the Callaway Room at the Third Street Center in Carbondale that starts next Wednesday, March 12th. But tonight they are hosting at the Callaway Room from 6 to 8, a women's drumming circle. And this sounds really neat for, you know, ahead of International Women's Day tomorrow, right?
Right. That's the intention, is to celebrate that. Yeah, for sure.
And hopefully if you're listening now, you can get out there and, you know, get inspired to dive into this workshop on eldering, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lisa actually has a drum in the studio, if you're ready. You want to share. Well, for one thing, I want everyone to know which website or phone number to go to contact you.
So my name is Deanna Janae, and my website is Deanna-Jenny, JENNE.com. And my phone number is 970-210-9520.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want me to give mine too?
Yeah.
Okay. So my website is lisadancinglight.com, no hyphen, all lowercase. And my phone number to contact me is 970-618-3613.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want me to play? Okay, so I'm just going to sing a song that actually our sister Lori Loeb wrote. And it's called We Are the Women. And this song has been streamed all over the world by over a million people. And this is how it goes. We are the women. We've come to drum. We are the channel between the earth and the sun. We hold the wisdom of the ancient ways. We will bring peace to these troubled days. We are the women, we've come to drum. We are the channel between the earth and the sun. We hold the wisdom of the ancient ways. We will bring peace to these troubled days.
Thank you. Thank you for setting that heartbeat for in training all of our listeners with that and that beautiful wisdom. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing in our community under the big Mother Mountain that we all, live under together. And keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And if you're interested, get over to the Third Street Center this evening to meet these beautiful women.
Thank you. It's 6 o'clock.
Okay, well, we're going to go into a song now from Lulo Reinhardt, who's playing tonight at the Wheeler Opera House. And it's called Freedom and Peace, actually, appropriately titled. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lulo Reinhardt, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with Katie and Kay today. How are you?
I'm great. We arrived in Aspen yesterday.
Okay.
Playing in Aspen tonight. I think it's the Wheeler Opera House.
Yeah, you're there tonight.
Exactly, yeah.
For International Guitar Night. It says the show will start at about 7:30.
So exactly, yeah.
How are things going for you?
All great. We're on tour already for 7 weeks, and this is concert number 31 tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, we have 43 concerts in total, and this lineup is amazing. We have a lot of fun. No stress.
No stress, you said?
Yes, no stress.
Well,
it's something different, you know. It's my 8th tour with IJN Guitar Night since 2010. And I played with a lot of guitar players, over 20 already.
Wow.
Sometimes you have different people, you know. Most of the time it works always great.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a really great lineup tonight. Can you tell us, well, first let's talk about you. You have a very interesting background being related to the legendary Django Reinhardt. And can you talk about your family and you growing up and starting to play guitar?
Yeah, Django was a cousin of my grandfather. And when I was five, in the age of five, I was listening to Django, of course. My father played guitar. My father's brother, W. Reinhardt, he was one of the first guitar player after Django died. You know, Django died in 1953, mm-hmm. and there was nothing anymore for like 5-6 years. There was no one going on stage because they had so much respect for Django also, you know. And my father's brother was one of the first Reinhardt after Django who went on stage and played his music, and he played amazing. So he was living next door, and so I was hearing him playing every single day. You know, my father, of course, played with him, his brothers, and so I grew up with this music. You know, there was a guitar in every single corner, and I woke up my father sometimes. I woke him up at 6-7 in the morning. I said, "Dad, come on, let's play." And this was before school time, you know, kindergarten time, and.
Wow.
You know, my father had a party sometimes on the weekend. Then he kicked me out of the bedroom, you know. They go out. I want to sleep. Yeah, I was crazy about this music, Django's music, of course.
Yeah.
So then my father was teaching me for the first 2 years, from 5 to 7. And then I went next door to my cousin Mike Reinhardt. He was 10. And he was already like a little superstar. He was playing TV shows, and with his father, of course. And Mike was playing exactly like Django at the age of 10. You know,
wow.
He was like unbelievable. So and then he was teaching me all the Django tunes. I played rhythm guitar for him, and so that's how it works, you know.
And
it's
where
normal
did,
by Gypsy, you know.
Where did you guys grow up?
In Koblenz, in Germany. We had like a gypsy ghetto, let's say ghetto, but this was like a normal street with caravans. Some gypsies were living in caravans. Some gypsies had houses already. This wasn't the middle of, we talk about the middle of the 60s. I was born in 61, you know.
Yeah.
And so we had a nice community, and nearly every uncle and cousins were musicians.
And how old were you when you started playing in front of audiences?
I was 12. I joined the family band Mike Reinhardt Sixtet at the age of 12 in 1973. So I was jumping in the cold water because normally Mike Reinhardt's sextet had two rhythm guitar players, and one of my cousins, the rhythm guitar player, broke his hand, you know, one day before a big concert, open-air concert in front of 4,000 people.
Oh, wow.
And then my father said, so, now is your time. And I was totally surprised. So I went on stage in front of 4,000 people. It was amazing. I was shaking before the concert, but from then on, I'm on stage my whole life. You know, I enjoyed it so much.
Yes, and we're very excited to see you tonight at the Wheeler Opera House. And yeah. Who else can you tell us about the other players?
Yeah, we have Sönke Meinen. He's a German guitar player from Hamburg. He's an amazing fingerstyle guitar player. He's playing his own music. That's a great thing. And he's not playing only fingerstyle. He's also like jazzy, Latin grooves, you know. An amazing, beautiful guy. And then we have Alexandra Whittingham. She's from England. She's one of the 10 best classic guitar players in the world. Wow. She plays with big orchestras and everything. I played with her 3 years ago in Germany, the same tour. We do the same tour also in Europe, like International Guitar Night in Germany called Night of the Guitars, you know. And so I know her already. She's also like an amazing classic guitar player. And then we have Nivel Tsumbo, the guy is from Congo. He lives in Ireland. He's doing all this African beat stuff, and he's an amazing singer also. So this is a good thing. We have four totally different styles. And on the beginning, everyone is playing solo. And then we play one quartet, and then we have the intermission. And in the second part, we play duos. Everyone is playing with everyone a piece. Then quartets on the end. It's a beautiful show.
Oh, it sounds amazing. And yeah, we are speaking with Lulu Reinhardt, who will be playing at International Guitar Night tonight at the Wheeler Opera House in Aspen. It says the show starts at 7:30.
Yeah.
And I was just listening to your most recent recording, Lulu, Freedom and Peace, and it is sounding as good as ever.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much. This is my second solo CD. Normally, I'm a band player. I have a band. I have duos, trios. But I just made this CD special for this tour. Yeah, there are a lot of stories in the songs, 14 brand new songs. For example, Letters from Joycey. Joycey, I met Joycey 2012 in Anchorage, Alaska. And we had a flight from Anchorage to Fairbanks, and we were talking. I always say we were talking 2 hours without breathing because she's a Native American and I'm a gypsy, and we have kind of similar roots, you know. What was happening with them, you know, what was happening with the gypsies. My father was in concentration camp. My father survived Auschwitz, you know.
Wow.
So we had many things. We were talking about many, many things. So then after the tour, she was sending me a letter with 60 pages. And this was amazing. And then while I was reading the letters, her sister sent me an email, and she said, Joycey just died, you know. And she was walking outside. She broke her ankle, and she died of cold, you know.
Oh.
So, and I made a song for her, Letters from Joycey. And this is the song, the opener song that I always play every single night, with always like a totally different intro, and then I go to the song.
Letters from Joycey.
Letters from Joycey, yeah. It sounds a little bit like Native American music also, you know. I took some elements here and there.
We'll go out of this interview with that track.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I highly encourage everyone to get up to the Wheeler Opera House tonight at 7:30 to see Lulu Reinhardt, very well-seasoned guitarist, and the three other guitarists that sound just world-class. Amazing talent up there. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, Lulu.
Pleasure. It's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
And we
Thanks
wish
so much
you...
for having...
Yeah. We wish you well on the rest of your tour.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Okay, have a great afternoon and evening.
Thanks so much. Wish you the best, okay?
Okay, bye. You too, Lulo. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
And we're going to go out with letters from Joycey. Beautiful. Letters from Joycey from Lulo Reinhart from his brand new release, Freedom and Peace. And once again, he'll be at the Wheeler in Aspen this evening at 7:30. And we have a very special guest on the phone now. Well, I think she's about to call back. It's been a little while since we've heard from our good friend Ellie Barber, who's based in the Pacific Northwest. She goes by the name of Olela, and I think she's calling in. Nope, not yet. So anyway, Chris.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll see if we can get through to her, but we're talking to her because she's releasing a new record, and we're doing a fun thing with the vinyl record. There's some kind of
thing.
It's like a fundraiser thing, but it's a good way to secure her new vinyl record, which looks really cool. So, but I hope we can talk to her directly about it. Maybe just, oh, here she comes. Let's try this. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, there you are. You're on air.
Oh, hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, we're great. It's a beautiful sun's cresting through the clouds, and it's Fashion Show Friday and First Friday.
Oh, so. What an exciting day.
Yeah, it's happening. But but we thought I saw your messages, and tell us about your new record and your fundraiser thing.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. So, yeah, I perform under the name Olela here in Seattle. And I am releasing my next record in 2 weeks from today, which is very exciting. And we're right now we're running a fundraiser kind of to recoup some of the funds. So you can pre-order the album through today. But yeah, we're really excited about the record. It's called Anti-Fragile, and there's 3 singles out so far, so you can kind of get a taste of it.
I think we spun one maybe last week or the week before.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
But, and it's a really cool, I saw some pictures of it. It's the coolest looking record I think I've ever seen. Do you want to explain the concept or should I?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So the Sunny Side Up egg has kind of become the mascot of the album, which makes sense. If you see the album cover, it's got a sunny side up egg on it. And the significance of that is kind of, originally I kind of love the irony of how fragile eggs are and how the album is called Anti-Fragile. But the more I thought about it, the cooler it got, because it was like, the eggs are very fragile when they're raw, but then you cook them and they become like more and more, or I guess less and less fragile. And so the sunny side up egg is kind of in this middle zone where it's both fragile and less fragile.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so for the record pressing, we actually made a design of a sunny side up egg where the center label is the yolk, and basically it's a transparent vinyl with a white center pressed into it. So the white is the egg white, and then you have the center label acting as the yolk.
Yeah, so when you have it on the turntable, it'll look like you're, you know, shuffling your, what do you call that, stirring your egg or whatever on the frying pan or something, which I am excited to experience myself.
Yeah, it was something, it felt like a bit of a leap of faith to send the design to the pressing plant, but I had talked to them about it and they thought we could pull it off, and I got a photo of it and it turned out really well, so I'm very excited.
That's great. You want to tell us anything more about the music on the record, or maybe the themes around, I guess you've already sort of talked about Anti-Fragile, maybe how does that express itself in the music part of it?
Yeah, I think the feeling behind the album is that we really allowed ourselves to experiment a lot and do not like put ourselves in a box sonically. And I'm a cellist by trade, a cellist and vocalist, which already puts us in kind of a unique place to have a cello-fronted band. but we really used the studio to add a lot of fun production on it, and it's got a full band sound and kind of spans between the more folk side of our work and a more indie rock side. It's got the whole spectrum. So I'm really excited about it. I think
that's great.
I just am proud. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge undertaking to make a record, especially these days with the price of everything, and vinyl I've heard is quite a challenge.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's so many independent musicians, which is so beautiful. It's like so possible to be an independent musician right now in a way that it hasn't been in the past. But it does mean that everything falls on the musician when that's the case, you know?
Yeah. You don't have a record company to be just dotting all the I's for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Which, like, it has pros and has cons, you know? It's not... not all bad, it's not all good, you know.
Yeah, at least they're not taking all your money or whatever.
Exactly. But, yeah, you're not in a contract if you're doing it yourself. Really great.
So if people are interested in seeing this, seeing what this album looks like, maybe, and knowing about where to do the, to learn about the fundraiser, but where should they go?
Yeah, I would say head to my Instagram. That's probably the easiest place, which is at Olella Music. And Olella is spelled O-L-L-E-L-L-A. So there's four L's total.
Yeah. We always like to say, oh, yeah, yeah, as you taught us
here. Oh, yeah, yeah.
In our Spanish pronunciation.
Yes, that is my preferred pronunciation. yeah, and on the, if you go to Olella Music on Instagram, I've got a photo of the record, of the,
cool,
of the egg record, and then there's also a link in my bio there to the fundraiser.
And is there another, any other way besides besides Instagram if people don't have that?
It's on my website. The like mock-ups and everything are on my website. There's a pre-order tab.
Okay. Which is just olellamusic.com?
Yep.
Okay.
It is.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having a quick chat with us. And I'm just super excited for you and always love to hear your voice, and hope we'll have you back in the valley. We always are pride, our little pride and joy daughter. even though you've grown a huge amount since I was here too. So anyway, have a great afternoon and thanks for calling.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and I'm hoping to come through Colorado sometime this year. So I'll let you know.
All right.
All right. Thanks awesome. So much, Ellie, and congratulations on the new work.
Thank you, Cody. Have a great weekend. Happy fashion show.
Okay, cool.
We'll see you this coming summer.
Yeah. Sounds good. Perfect.
Okay.
Ciao.
Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.
Oh, that was sweet. Well, I'm going to try to play a track from another one of the guitarists tonight, Newell Sumbu.
Okay.
And let's see if I can, looks like, here we go. Another artist that will be at the Wheeler tonight.
And this is as part of the International Guitar Night. Thank you.
Okay, that was Niuel Sumbu, who will also be at International Guitar Night tonight at the Wheeler. And now, Chris, you want to introduce?
Yeah, we have a quick update here from Andrea Jenkins Wallace, Anderson Ranch. We had a conversation a week or two ago, but it's evergreen. It's not evergreen, but it's still relevant mostly. And there is some great, great show stuff going on up there. So let's hear this. Hello, everyone. We are here with Andrea Jenkins Wallace from Anderson Ranch. She is the Vice President of Artistic Affairs. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And she's going to talk to us about an ongoing exhibition that they are having in the Patton Malott Gallery called Mark Image Object. And you want to tell us about this exhibition?
Yeah, this is a really exciting exhibition. It's the first time we've actually had an exhibition of former visiting artists. And the ranch has a long history with this program. So we're celebrating 40 years of visiting artists at Anderson Ranch. So we curated a selection of artists with a really diverse group across all media and some really loved favorites like Brad Miller, who was also the director of ceramics at Anderson Ranch and the director of the ranch back years ago, his ceramics work, as well as a more contemporary artist like Jeff Fugan, Paul Anthony Smith, Catherine Hobie, Melanie Yazzie. So we've really got a great lineup for this exhibition, and it really represents all media that really are offered at the ranch, like photography, sculpture, ceramics, painting, printmaking. So we're really excited about it.
And it sounds like many of these artists have quite an intimate relationship with the ranch.
Some of these folks have had multiple touch points with the ranch over the years. We have former faculty and visiting artists like John Gill, who taught at the ranch for 30 years in ceramics.
Nice.
And then we have people like Paul Sapoya, who is a more contemporary artist, came to us through the visiting artist program a few years ago. His work really relates to photography, the history of the darkroom, and he's also a Guggenheim Fellow. So, and then, you know, we have someone like Melanie Yazzie, who is a faculty, she's a member of the Navajo Nation, and she's a sculptor, a painter, a printmaker, and she teaches at the University of Colorado Boulder. So her print is on view as well.
Tell me more about Melanie Yazzie's work.
Well, Melanie's work really has undertones referenced in Native post-colonial dilemmas. Her work primarily focuses on themes of Native people, and her work often brings images of women from many indigenous cultures to the forefront. So she also references matrilineal systems and really looks at female leadership in her work.
And can you tell me about the print that's in the exhibition?
Melanie's work is known for multi-layered monotypes, and the work that we have on view in the gallery is a beautiful monotype. Often her work focuses on storytelling and dreamlike images. And she makes these work with stencils, and she's often using soy-based inks, so she's really into non-toxic inks that are safe for the artist and for the environment as well.
So that is Mark Image Object. It's on view through April 10th at the Patton Malott Gallery up at the ranch in Snowmass Village. Sounds like that's just one of many things going on at the ranch. There's also a lecture series. Tell us about that.
We have a great spring lineup of lectures with a lot of visiting artists coming in through April. The visiting artists that are giving lectures include people like Chelsea Bighorn, Hugo McLeod. So those lectures are coming up. And then we also have summer registration open. It opened in January, and so we're hoping people can take a look at our website and see the great lineup of workshops we have this coming summer. We also have a scholarship program, so if people or locals are interested in applying for a scholarship to attend the summer workshop, the deadline to apply is February 28th, and that link is on our website.
Awesome. Thank you. So, yeah, thanks so much for joining us and giving us a quick update. There's just so much going on up there at the ranch, and really exciting to have such an amazing resource in our community. Thanks so much, Andrea.
Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is about going to do it for Express Yourself. One little reminder, the Cut-A-Thon with Rosa Contreras is happening in 2 minutes at the from 5 to 8 p.m. over at the Main Street Barbershop across from the Smithy. Check that out and raise some money for Guatemalan barbers in training.
Have a great weekend and have a great Friday. It's first Friday, right?
Yeah.
Carbondale, and be safe out there. And
yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all next time.
Thanks, Cody.
Thanks, Chris.